Morning. So the Declaration of Independence that we've been celebrating this week guarantees us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Americans have often interpreted this to mean you can make all the money you can. So today I'm starting our Summer Prosperity series, which has kind of become a tradition in this church. And yes, it is about money. There's nothing wrong with having money, using money. It's a form of energy that circulates on our planet. The word affluent has the same root as fluid or flow. So this is really about being in the flow of abundance. Jesus taught prosperity in that broad sense. He said, "I came that you might have life more abundantly." He said, "It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Good is always flowing. So this five-week series is based on Eric Butterworth's book called Spiritual Economics. It is a classic. Butterworth is probably the greatest Unity writer ever. Whenever you want to know more about Unity teachings, pick up one of Butterworth's books. He just died in 2004 after decades of teaching in New York City. And, you know, when I do a book series, it's not a book report. There's a lot more in the book than I can tell you. And I then, you know, throw in some stuff too. So Butterworth says the word prosperity comes from the Latin root that translates according to hope or to go forward hopefully. So prosperity is an attitude toward life. It's not a dollar amount. I worry sometimes that teaching so often about prosperity in Unity keeps you all thinking about lack, what you don't have, which is the worst possible mindset from which to create prosperity. But it's very easy to fall into. As a nation, we are more wealthy than billions of people throughout the history of the world could imagine. Most of the world's people today would find it ironic that we worry so much about having enough. The problem isn't what we have so much as how we think about it. You know, you've probably heard 90% of all illness is caused by stress. Stress is the way we think about and react to life. Well, 90% of money problems are also due to the way we think about it. So this series is about changing our thinking. We'll also talk about actions to take. But what counts is consciousness, the way we think about abundance. But before we start talking about how to have more, let's look at where we stand already. This is a little 3-minute video. You've probably seen a version of it before about the global village. But it gives me renewed perspective. This is not to make you feel guilty. This is to help you feel blessed.
Nothing to keep.
So I'm not going to scold you about having too much or wanting more. This is not about inequitable distribution on the planet or the growing gap between haves and have-nots. But it is worth remembering that there are different perspectives on what is enough and what's important to have. So while some people are scraping up money for college, others would be happy with clean drinking water. Remembering how much we already have elevates my consciousness of abundance, and then I can create from a place of plenty. Watching this video, I just feel lucky and grateful. So let's start with gratitude. It's always a part of prosperity teaching, but instead of waiting until you manifest more prosperity, let's just be grateful now, no matter what seems to be missing. We attract abundance by feeling abundant. So let everything you have, everything you see or experience, represent abundance to you. Our potluck today is a great visual of abundance. It's a literal feast. Let everything you own be a symbol of your prosperity. Let leaves and flowers remind you of God's proliferation. Let people remind you of abundant divine love. We turn away from the appearance of lack to the reality of abundance because it's everywhere. We only struggle when we forget that. If we stay aware of all that we have already and notice the abundance, then the only way to feel is grateful. A grateful heart attracts great things. Plato said that. It signals to the universe we are open for more. So next time you worry about money, just remember that line from the video. If you have a roof over your head, food in the fridge, clothes to wear, a bed to sleep on, you're in the top quarter of people in the world. So the first shift in thinking about prosperity is to go global. If you're trying to keep up with the neighbors, consider all of the neighbors. The second is to focus on gratitude for what we already have. And then third is to see abundance as the ocean we swim in. Usually we describe prosperity as a pie. Everybody gets a slice of some size until it runs out. But there's no pie to divide. There is only a flow of abundance, which means there is plenty for everyone. Everyone can have as much as they need. Now, be aware I'm talking on two levels here. At the three-dimensional level of human experience, money matters. It is the medium of exchange in our society. At the absolute level of God, there is pure possibility. So the key to prosperity, having prosperity conscious, is to integrate the two. To live knowing there is plenty, that the universe is abundant and unlimited, and that that's available in our human experience. So that's the third shift. That it's already here. Everything we could possibly want is already possible. Call it God's creation, call it the quantum field. It is invisible energy, not yet in form. Some of it might take physical form, a house or a car. Some of it might be intangible, love, health, strength. It comes through you into form. This invisible God stuff is called substance. The term is from Unity's co-founder, Charles Fillmore, divine substance. And we are surrounded by it like fish in water, and it responds to our thoughts. This is what we mean when we say what we want is already here. It's all around us like the air. It's the energy between particles of matter. We shape it with our thoughts and expectations. This is why Charles Fillmore said, "It's a sin to be poor." It's one of the most shocking things he ever said. And he said it during the Depression. Actually, he wrote it in his book titled Prosperity. But he was using sin with its original meaning, to miss the mark. Somehow, you're missing the mark if you're poor because you're living in an ocean of abundance. Butterworth says the same thing in Spiritual Economics. He says, lack and limitation of any kind are aberrations in an opulent universe. any person who's experiencing lack is in some way living in opposition to the universal flow. In other words, paddling upstream. He says there's no such thing as a purely financial problem. It always involves attitude and emotion. And shifting those will turn your boat around to go with the flow. Poverty and prosperity are both about the way we think and live. They are not really about money and things. Life is lived from within out. It's not shaped by what's around us. So if the stock market crashes, your personal prosperity will be determined by what you think. Stay with me on this. Because doom and gloom block our good. Our thinking can block or allow our good. Butterworth says, God will make you prosperous if you don't make it too hard for God. So, what have you been thinking about money? Here is an experiment to do at home. You can write this, you can speak it into the air, you can try it with another person. You and your money go for couples counseling. You get to tell each other everything. So you're in one chair, your money is in the other chair. You start. You're never around when I need you. You're not meeting all of my needs. Even when you show up, you don't stay. I can't trust you, and I'm always worried about you. So your money talks back. It's never enough with you. No matter how much I give, it's not enough. It's not enough. You don't trust me. You say you want more of me, and then you tell everyone you know you're afraid I won't show up. But I'm right here. Okay, yes, I've been to couples counseling. But one of the problems you hear on the human side of that is identifying ourselves as someone who never has enough. Now, are you truly poor or are you just broke? Because there's a difference. Let's move away from money to give an example. I occasionally do something dumb or ditzy, but I am not a ditz. A child might misbehave, but she's not a bad person. I know people who weigh more than they would like to, but they don't identify themselves as fat. You know that because they'll still go out in public in a swimsuit. Don't you think that's the test? If you think you're too fat to go out in public, you are identifying as a fat person. And we all know those people who truly, deeply believe they're dumb or they're bad or they're fat or they're poor. So you see the difference. You can be broke without thinking of yourself as a poor person. You can know you're okay and still wish you had more. And you're probably thinking, yeah, I don't identify as poor. We use different words. How many of us say we're struggling with money or we're worried about money? Ooh, I have to be careful. No, I can't afford that. And my personal pet peeve, I'm on a fixed income. Yeah, most of us are. I get paid exactly the same amount every month, and I don't get cost of living adjustments. Fixed income has become synonymous with, I don't have much, I've got to be careful, and I will never have more than I do right now. Fixed income is used to justify withholding, not giving, being tight with a dollar. Can you hear how that's based on not enough? It's based on fear. And fear is the opposite of gratitude. It's a focus on lack instead of abundance. And we all do it. I mean, don't beat yourself up too much. But do start to notice thoughts of lack and scarcity. If you're paying the bills and worried that your money won't last till the next paycheck, if you catch yourself thinking, I hope my parents have enough for medical care. I hope I have enough to retire. I hope I can get my kids through college. I hope I get a job that pays more, or what if I don't get a job at all? That's all scarcity thinking. When you notice those thoughts of scarcity, just consider how you might look past the appearance of not enough and see the abundance that we know is in the universe. Integrate your human experience with what you know to be the truth. The two best generic prayers I know are, help me see this differently, and show me the good. They're all-purpose prayers. You can use them for money or anything else. Butterworth says when you really get that you are the center of a loving, giving universe, good will come pouring into you from all sides. It might look like a miracle, but it's really the natural function of a divine process. If you're missing the mark, you are somehow thwarting that process. It has something to do with your thinking. Prosperity is like opening heavy drapes and letting sunshine stream in. The sunshine is already there. Opening the drapes is up to you. There's a Bible story about this. It's in the Old Testament, which means the struggle with scarcity has been around for a long time. So there was this widow with two little boys. She was desperately poor. She would identify herself as poor. And in those days, if you couldn't pay your debt, they would take your children and put them to work to pay off your debt. So she was about to lose her boys. And she went to the prophet Elisha. He said, and this is a really telling exchange. He said, what do you have in the house? And she said, I only have one pot of oil. He was asking her, look at what you already have. And she said, it's only one pot of oil. When she looked at what she already had, she saw it as not enough, as lacking. So you see the flaw in her thinking? So Elisha gave her an assignment. He told her to borrow as many vessels as she could, vessels. So she went house to house, and she asked her neighbors if she could borrow any empty vessels they had. Now, two things are happening here. She's relying on her community. She is asking and allowing herself to be helped. And she's expanding her consciousness. She's literally making room for more with these empty vessels. So Elisha told her to start pouring oil from her one pot into the other vessels. And it poured and it poured, and the oil didn't stop until all the vessels were full. It stopped when she reached the limits of her consciousness, what she saw as possible. Isn't that cool? So how do we expand our consciousness? How do we get more empty vessels? Well, we're doing that. Books, classes, talking to each other, imagining what's possible. But mainly, it is to center ourselves in the awareness of the abundance that surrounds us. Not just what we see, but knowing the divine energy we can use. Emily Cady, an early Unity writer, said, supply awaits demand. Supply is already here. We just provide the vessels to receive it. We'll talk more in this series about asking, about demanding the supply. Ask and it's given. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask, affirming it's already here. It's not a transaction. Our good does not have to be shipped to us from somewhere else. Asking opens the vessels so what's already here can flow into them. And our prosperity will take whatever form we need for it to be. Money, certainly, but spiritual well-being, health, love, peace, harmony, ideas, creativity, opportunities, guidance. All that is prosperity, so we can have life more abundantly. So I'd invite you this week, notice what you already have. Bless it and appreciate it. Let it be a symbol of abundance. Not, I only have this, but I already have this. Whatever you have, it's more than a lot of people in the world. No competition, no guilt, there's no pie to divide. Just start by being grateful. And then second, remember you are surrounded by divine substance. Whatever you want is right here, invisible, but speak the word. Ask, call it into your life, and then don't worry about it. Just know it is done. You'll begin to see it. How can I see this differently? Show me the good. The first step in this series is to ground ourselves in this idea that we live in a universe of abundance. Next week, we will take more specific steps in consciousness to make sure we understand that prosperity never comes from outside of us. It's not something we acquire. It starts within. So this is how we'll change our lives and change the global village. So let's meditate on these thoughts. When we meditate, we relax, become comfortable. Let the chair support you the way the universe supports you. And any time you remember during the day, you can take one deep breath and imagine yourself surrounded by divine substance. It is around you like the air, and it responds to your thoughts, reverberates with your vibration, matches your consciousness. So let your vibration be one of gratitude. Focus your thoughts on what you already have, the plenty, the beauty, and know that there is more where that came from. No matter your human experience in the moment, the truth is, you are living in a universe of abundance. And so as you are visualizing this substance all around you, imagine yourself opening up like a vessel, like draperies over a window. And let all of your good pour into you, coming from every direction. Whatever you want it to be, it will change over time. You can do this every day. Whatever form you want your good to take is yours already. You wouldn't want it if it were not already available. How can we be anything but grateful? Not just for the material things we already have, but for the unlimited possibilities in the universe. Grateful to know we are cared for and loved, provided for. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so it is. Amen.